Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 31st, 2011, episode 218, sponsored today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Well, Jamie, today we're going to be talking a lot about your sport of eventing.
I know. We got some awesome stuff coming up as far as eventing goes, and the international competition is starting. But I just want to real quick before you get into what you're going to talk about, because it's awesome.
Well, I wanted to talk about naked eventers.
I know that. I just wanted to celebrate that it's the last day of August. I'm going to bring it down a little bit more before you jump right into naked eventers. It's the last day of August, the godforsaken Phoenix, Arizona month. The worst one of the entire year is now over after today. Okay, just wanted to let that be known. Go ahead.
You do realize that 90% of the audience is going, oh, it's the last day of August.
move here for like a week and you'll hate it. And the
We're
winter all here
very
is perfect.
Sad that it's August is ending, Labor Day's coming, start of cold winter and yuck.
Sorry. We all look
let's get back to before we get rid of the sunshine altogether, how would you like to see 33 of your favorite eventers from England and Great Britain naked?
Well, I would have to ask, who is going to be naked?
Well, part of them will be Mary King, Mark Todd, Blythe Tate. So I guess this is an international nakedness here. We're talking nakedness from all over the world, but it's being done for a good cause. It's a calendar that you can actually buy called Riders Revealed. It's Big Hearts Exposed 365 days a year as Eventers Help Friends effort to walk again. If you remember right, we had talked a long time ago about a girl by the name of Claire Lomas. She was an event rider who was paralyzed from the chest down, and that was in a competition injury several years ago. Well, the goal is they want to get her walking again, and they're raising money through this calendar. They showed an example of Mary King, who was the winner of Rolex last year, sitting on this lounge chair with nothing on but her HSBC arm bandit and her Rolex watch, which she won at Rolex. And that's it. That's all she's wearing. Now, there is an eventing magazine that may be hiding certain parts in a very strategic position. So I think it's going to be almost naked eventing calendar. But it looks like a lot of fun.
So is that the only photo? Because the one of Mary King, again, laid out with just a magazine covering certain places, the fact that she's wearing her Rolex watch is awesome. So is that the only preview photo that has been released? Because I'm curious about a couple of the other riders.
Yes. Yeah, you mainly want to know about the guys. I don't see any others. But if you go to their website, ridersrevealed.co.uk, I don't see any of the others. It talks a lot about why they're doing it and things like that, and you can actually order the calendar. And they also have a way, apparently, for you to order it in the United States. They have a special section for that. So if we got to buy one. We're just going to buy one, and we're going to have to talk about it, of course.
Well, you know, there's no better Christmas present than a calendar, because, you know, everybody needs one for the upcoming year. So if you want to buy me about 12 or 14 of them, I'd be very happy to receive them.
Apparently, it's taken 5 months to produce, with the riders being photographed all over Great Britain. And she said that some took more persuading than others. Some ignored her completely, and others were asking to be in it. So I'm sure it's done very tastefully.
I wonder if they're all as strategically placed. I'm sure that they're not really naked.
Yeah.
I mean, they're naked in the picture, but I'm sure there's some sort of, like, you know, there's a helmet over Mark Todd's crotch. You know, like, who knows? That would be a good idea, though.
They did this in the United States. You remember, Jennifer probably remembers. I know Bit of Britain was selling them, where they had half-naked calendars of eventers. And that was a couple of years ago. Then they stopped doing them. But they had a couple of these with American riders, too. I don't know if it was for charity. I don't remember. But this has been before, but now Great Britain's getting in on the act. A little full Monty action over there in Great Britain.
And, you know, their rules are a little less strict than ours. So you may see nudity. We don't know.
$10.
$10,
$12, something like that. Let me see here. It's $10 foreign, so it's probably $12, $14 U.S. You can find out for yourself. All for the sake of spinal research, all for a good cause. So there you go. Naked Adventures is how we start here on Horses in the Morning. Jennifer, what's the
number? On today's Wednesday Back on Track edition, we break from the gate with Chris Stafford, who's going to be stopping by with an overview of the Olympic team qualifying rules, the most confusing process outside of your state's Department of Motor Vehicles. Next up, Patricia from Horse Junkies United blog will be providing a report on the Land Rover Burley horse trials live from merry old England. And if that wasn't enough to make your head ache from information overload or your face hurt from smiling, thehorse.com is here once again to create unpleasant digestive reactions from at least one of our hosts. Stay tuned.
They did that last week. You ditched me last week and left me with sheath cleaning.
I'm going to tell you that maybe the contractor was coming at that point in the show, or maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But I did thoroughly enjoy listening and reading the Facebook posts, especially of the whole sheath cleaning segment. I'm really proud of you for being able to get through it, but I'm kind of I'm disappointed that you really didn't get in there and get your hands dirty and learn. Because I don't feel like you learned anything.
I have something for you.
It's great.
Bye, Daily Winnie. Rachel Rosenthal posted a video on our Facebook page, which Jennifer's going to repost so everybody can see it, and it's over at Horses in the Morning on Facebook. And Rachel, it was very funny. Thank you for posting it. She says, oh, my goodness, I don't know what's cuter, the pony, the rider, or the commentary, or the pony's awesome Canadian accent. It is kind of funny. The guy who does the awesome Canadian accent on the pony is a chuckle. So you want to check it out. It is another video of a little pony bucking with a kid. But I never get enough of those little ponies bucking kids off. I just think it's great.
I was watching this, and I just wanted to take a whip to that little pony's butt and be like, you stop it. You stop being a bad pony. Get forward and keep moving. It's in a horse show, and the poor little kid is he's just a really good rider. He's tough, you know. And he's just,
stayed on a while. He's going to be a good rider when he grows up. Good rider. This is yours.
Okay, so do you remember when Glenn was gone out of town and wanted me to play some crap song about, you know, the war or whatever, and I said that I wasn't going to play it, and then again on Monday morning he played it, and it was absolute crap song. It was terrible. So I ask you guys to tell me what you thought about the song. And a lot of people posted, you know, I would say all but one posted that they hated it and never played again, even things so much as that song sucked, never played it again, that was god-awful. Well, a late vote came in by Tom Rittenhouse, and this is your boy, okay, Glenn? This is your boy. This is one of the man listeners that you get so excited about. Tom Rittenhouse, and I quote, "Please, never, ever, ever, ever again. That's stunk."
Keep reading.
He also went to say, "Bring back Kegasus." P.S. Kegasus. Got you. That stunk. Bring back Kegasus.
Kegasus. Horse half mad with beer in hand, he strove the infield best.
And we did not have that planned, people. I caught her off guard with that one.
Totally. He goes on to say that the song's not about the Civil War. It's the War of 1812, the same war as the Star-Spangled Banner. It's about General Andy Jackson, the guy on the $20 bill chasing the British out of New Orleans. Okay, Tom, I was really, you could have just left it with, "Please bring back Kegasus."
Tom, actually, he whined and complained about the song. He listened to the whole darn thing because he knew what was the right war and everything.
I can't believe I just said it and you missed it. But yes, Tom, I don't know how you could even listen to that song. I had to unplug my speakers because that was so bad. It was the song, for those who don't remember, that Glenn was like, "This is a great song, it's awesome," and it was a mashup of, what is it, La Bamba and Louie Louie. Oh my god, yeah, it's that bad. So anyway, just so you know, your boy is on my side, Tom.
Yeah,
I appreciate you. I'm gonna give you a little what's up.
Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to play Kegasus again. I really appreciate that, Tom. On a more serious note, this Daily Wind goes out to our friends in New England, all of them who are up there dealing with power outages and massive flooding. One of the places that got hit hard was the Green Mountain Horse Association. All the eventers and drivers will know it as GMHA. It's south of Woodstock in Vermont there, and it holds many, many events. They just got done. As a matter of fact, last weekend when the storm hit, they were doing a driving competition. They had to end it early and get everybody out of there because the storm, actually, the rain had started. They suffered severe damage to their barns and their showgrounds. You can go to the Green Mountain Horse Association website, and you can see some pictures there. But there are some things canceled up there. They have a big horse trials coming up in September that's canceled. Their fall driving classic is canceled. Lucinda Green had a clinic up there. It's canceled. So they basically canceled everything in the month of September. So it's not a good time for those in Vermont. There are towns, entire towns, and I posted a link there, Jamie. There are actually entire towns that are cut off from other towns. They're flying in with helicopters. They're flying in relief supplies because the roads are washed away and they have no way of, and of course, you know, it's Vermont, it's mountainous. There's no way to get supplies into these towns. There was a picture posted, compliments of Jane Savoy, by Stephanie Landbater, and I'm going to use that as a show notes picture today. She had 16 horses that got caught in a field that flooded almost immediately. It was one of those flash flood kind of situations. And her husband actually waded into the waters up to his neck. He found the lead mare and got a lead rope on her and got her to go to higher ground. And all the other horses apparently followed. But it's a dramatic picture. And if you see the picture, Jamie, in the show.
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely incredible. I mean,
and if you look closely, there's horses that way in the back there behind the fence.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, they look like. Looks like shark fins on their head sticking up out of the water. That's just about as much as you see of the horse. So good for him to be able to go save it. But makes you kind of want to go, hey, guys, pay attention. Let's get to high ground. Use your natural instincts God gave you. Don't just swim out there in the deep water. But, no, it's definitely a huge tragedy that what's going on up there. And I'm really sad about the GMHA because, like I told you, I posted pictures or we looked at pictures yesterday from Peter Adkins, who was out hacking on the cross-country course there, and it was just decimated and underwater. And, I mean, worse things have happened in storms and everything, but to have the flooding, I mean, you don't your land and your home and your car, you don't recover from flooding. You know, you just can't rebuild. Everything is destroyed. So we definitely send prayers up to those guys and wish everybody good luck up there. And this is an incredible photo for sure.
Yeah. Well, so our best to everybody in New England who's still dealing with that, day by day here. We have a guest coming on here. I asked Chris from the Eventing and Dressage and Jumping radio shows here at the Horse Radio Network to join us because I've been reading about something, and I get so darn confused. And the Olympics are now 1 year away over in London, and they're talking about 15. This country has now qualified for the Olympics in this sport, and this country is now qualified, and this one is going to have to qualify. And I'm just like, can't anybody send anything? It just totally confuses me, and I get a headache reading it. So, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Hey, Chris.
So I'm getting a headache reading about who's qualifying and who's not qualifying and how they qualify. And can you just – I thought if I had a country and I had some people that I want to send to the Olympics, I can send a team and that's it.
Yeah, not quite that easy, Glenn. You know, the Olympics goes in a 4-year rotational cycle, and in between those you have qualifying competitions like the World Equestrian Games, European Championships, which is considered by the International Equestrian Federation, the FEI, as a regional championship. And then you have, of course, the groups around the world. You have the Pan American Championships, with the Pan American Games is coming up, of course, in October down in Guadalajara, Mexico. That's another qualifying competition for those regions, those groups, I should say, FEI Olympic groups. So you've got the five, at the moment, you've got the five top countries that were placed at the Altec FEI World Equestrian Games in 2010. And they, of course, were... Canada, New Zealand, the States, of course, Germany, and Belgium. And always the host nation gets to go anyway. So that's Great Britain in. And then you get the two top countries that have not already qualified from the Europeans, which were held in Le Moulin, Germany, just last week. And France, of course, won the silver medal, so they get in. They're just two nations from there. And Sweden finished just outside the medals of fourth, so they get in as well. So right now you've got... qualified Great Britain, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Germany, Belgium, and then France and Sweden. And then you'll get two more that come out of the Pan American Games. And then it becomes more complicated. So I don't know how far you want me to drill.
Well, okay, so we'll have two teams. Like, you know, I noticed the United States isn't even on that list. So you'll
yes,
have.
Yes, it is. Because it qualified
oh, it
in at WEG. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Okay. So they're
you weren't
qualified.
Listening, Glenn, were you? Does he do
I
this with you,
been.
Jamie?
So now, out of Pan American Games, we've got two more teams. And then, you're right, understand it, it gets a lot more complicated with points and all that stuff. So the teams that qualify...
Well, it's not so much points. What it is, in fact, countries can put together a composite team from the rankings. You then get into the World Cup rankings.
Okay.
So in the end, what you're going to have is a total of 11 nations competing at the Olympic Games, a minimum of 11 nations.
Now, that doesn't mean that countries can't send individuals, though, right?
Right. They can send individuals. So you've got, you know, all in all, you've got, I'm trying to remember how many in total that you'll get from the 11 nations, and then you'll get seven individuals that qualify as well from each of the FEI group regions.
Okay.
So the total total number, I think, is 75 athletes that can make the qualification cut, and I think that qualification cuts off in March, beginning of March next year.
And that's for each individual sport, for dressage, for eventing. Sorry, Jamie. Each one gets 75.
No, I thought we were just talking about eventing. I'm not sure off the top of my head, Glenn. That's another show. I can come back and tell you about dressage next week and then jump in the following week. I want to say it's about the same, but I'd need to go and dig into the rules again. But from memory, I think this is right for eventing. It would be 75 total entries for the Olympics.
Okay, so
eventing.
Chris, if there is, gotcha, so this is eventing, and say we've got 75 people that are qualified and want to go, and then say all of a sudden Puerto Rico has a rider that has qualified and they want to send, is that also included in that 75, or could 76 go? I mean, it's only 75 people?
75 is the cutoff, Jamie. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, well, cool. That
teams make up a minimum of three. It's the teams are a minimum of three, so they can send five. I mean, if, for example, the U.S. or Great Britain might have five combinations, but only three of those are on the team. The other two would go as individuals.
Okay.
I can make this as complicated as you like.
Sounds like the Olympic Committee already has.
Well, Chris, right, Chris, I'm glad that one of us has a big brain on us. So keep up the good work. Everybody, please go listen to the Eventing Radio Show, eventingradioshow.com, and you'll learn more about this, and we won't be here to interrupt her. So,
well, I'm just going to, before I go, put a plug in for the Eventing Radio Show, because on this week's show, of course, we've got Burley Preview and Blenheim. We've got the European Review, and Lucinda Green is my co-host this week and last week, of course, when we dealt with the Europeans last week. And then this week for Burley, which, of course, has its 50th, and I remember I was back there in the 60s at my first events in Burley. It is a beautiful, beautiful location, and it's going to be quite an event this year. Blenheim, I should tell you also, just to confuse you, is a qualifier for the Pan-Asian groups, and so you'll find a few foreign countries there that competing at Blenheim, which is a three-star next week in England. Lucinda will explain more on the show this week. As you'll also hear from Claire Lomas. You mentioned the Riders Reveal. Claire Lomas is actually a guest on the Eventing Radio Show this week to tell us more about that calendar. And, of course, she's trying to raise money for the robot so that she can actually get to her feet and walk. She's an amazing, amazing young lady, and you'll hear her full story. She's a great friend of Lucinda's as well, so it's a great story on the Eventing Radio Show this week.
Great.
And also, I also want to put a plug in for some new segments, Glenn, some new series on the three shows. We've got an Event Horse Owners Roundtable coming up next week, talking to event horse owners about all the aspects of event horse ownership, which is very complex. And we've got owners from Great Britain and from the U.S. We've also got a new spotlight country where I'm going around the world spotlighting countries in their sport. And we've also got a new focus on amateurs coming up too, which I'm really excited about. And not forgetting our young reporters as well. If you're under 20 years of age and want to report on your show or event anywhere around the world. And then we have another brand new segment, which kicks off on the Jumping Radio Show this week, and that is talent spotting. We've got Vicky Roycroft, the Olympian from Down Under, is going to introduce us to some new talent down in Australia. So lots and lots of new segment series on the Eventing, Jumping, and Dressage Radio shows. Thank you for the plug.
Glenn, she scooped us once again. She's already got Claire Lomas on the show. We talk about her today. Chris is like, been there, done that, go listen to it. So as is normal, Chris has scooped us once again. But Chris, we appreciated everybody.
Jamie, I have to add though, see, Chris took the serious side, the Claire Lomas side. I took the naked inventor side. So there were two different takes on the subject, see.
Yeah. And just to sign off on the way I came in on the Olympic theme, Glenn, we're going to start promoting our Olympic coverage, which, as you said, is just 12 months away. I will be there covering all of the Olympic disciplines for the Horse Radio Network. So we'll be plugging that and promoting that in the next months leading up to the game. So it'll be exclusive coverage here on the Horse Radio Network.
All right.
Do you need a valet, or do you need to make sure your luggage, or is the Horse Radio Network funding this trip? Because if it is, I am all over it.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
I want to go, Glenn.
We have a report coming up actually next from Burley, so let's get to that. Thank you very much, Chris.
You're welcome.
Bye, Chris.
We have Patricia from Horse Junkies United is going to be giving us daily reports for the next 3 days. Why don't you take this one, Jamie?
Okay, well, first of all, let's explain what Burley is. Burley, 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 say it 5 times. If you don't know what it is, it's almost like it's like a Rolex over in Europe. And Patricia, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Kalina's here, too.
Hello.
We're actually here for the under 21 reporting from a show.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Patricia, you don't quite qualify. You're 22 years old, so sorry.
Right.
Well, why don't you guys tell everybody? I mean, Burley is a very historic horse trial and 3-day event that takes place over in, I believe it's England. And why don't you tell everybody a little bit about it and give us a little bit of the history and why it's such an exciting event?
Well, I'm not quite sure about the history, but they're celebrating their 50th year, so I guess it was founded 50 years ago. And basically, it's a show, and it's in the showground of a big house called Burley House. Normally, big events in England, unlike in the United States, where we don't really have like big stately homes, here most events are in places where, you know, there's a big house with, you know, I'm not quite sure who lived there. But that is, no one lives there. Like, you can actually visit the house. And it's a big, big 4-star. And it's actually with badminton, probably one of the hardest, if not the hardest, 4-star event that there is. And we have some Americans here competing and Canadians as well. So that's why we came. And today is the jog at 4. And so we'll go and cover that.
Yeah. So there's only 5 or 6 of these 4-star events every year. So there's 2 in England, 1 in the spring, and this is the fall one. And it's known for being sort of one of the tougher tracks in the world. It's huge, big, big, demanding downhill work.
Okay, it is way hard to hear you. Patricia, did you introduce the person that is with you? Because we can't really understand her at all. I'm so sorry.
Okay, it's Kalina.
Oh, Kalina, okay. Another one of the writers on Horse Junkies United, right?
Right, the sound is not good for her.
I'm sorry.
Actually, the sound is not great for either one of you, to be honest. No, are you standing away from the microphone?
No, we're almost eating the mic.
Yeah, it's not terrific. I'm wondering.
Can you hear us or no?
We can hear you, Patricia. We cannot hear the other person at all.
Okay, so let me get her my mic. Hi. Okay, so talk in mic. Hello, can you hear me now?
A little bit better. You both sound like you're in a bathroom.
Well, we're not, but we're in a trailer out behind the media tent. So
okay.
So what I've been saying earlier is that there's only 5 or 6 4-star level events in the world every year, and Burley is one of the 2 that's held in England. So there's badminton in the spring and Burley in the fall, and Burley's known for being, you know, a really, really big, tough track.
And it's got a beautiful home that is on it that was built, I'm trying to like look up the history here, but Burley started in the 60s. I think in 1961, the first person, the first horse went out on course. And I was reading some of the history. Do you guys know that in 1965, a woman named Marietta Fox Pitt placed 2nd at Burley? And that is William Fox Pitt's mom. So I didn't even know he came from a family of successful eventers, because you learn just, you know, so much more about the American riders. But William Fox Pitt's mom has competed. In 1974, Bruce Davidson was the first U.S. rider to win Burley on Irish Cap. So, you know, it's got a long season history. And the house Burley was built, like, in the 1400s or something. So we're talking a lot of history here.
Yeah, the house was built, I guess, in the 16th century, so we're going on 500 years.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive and pretty amazing. So we'll definitely have to post a picture of the House of Burley and let everybody know what it looks like. Because if you can imagine, like, a grand manor and estate, you know, over in Europe, this would be it. And you can actually see the Burley House from the cross-country course. Isn't that right, Patricia?
Yeah, it's clean. I've stolen Patricia's mic. But yeah, you can. In fact, there's one big jump that is on the cross country course that the backdrop to the jump is Burley House, so it's quite stunning.
Yeah, I would get so distracted galloping by. I'd be, you'd be flying by, I'd be like, oh my God, that is just beautiful. And then go off course.
Well, fortunately, maybe that's why the riders are out there walking on course so many times to make sure they don't get distracted.
Yeah, I would imagine that it's they probably have to work pretty hard at it. So just real quick before we have to let you guys go and work on getting a better connection, what do you guys think about? Have you walked the cross-country course yet? And if so, what do you think about it?
Yeah, we haven't walked the whole course, but we've certainly gone and sort of taken a peek at some of the complexes. And, yeah, it looks like a big, big, tough track. Like I've said a couple of times, it's a bit of a callback to Burley's history, some of the fences and the complexes are a bit sort of old school. It looks like a big, big track.
Yeah, from what I've been reading, it looks incredibly difficult, actually. Is that your opinion of it, too?
Absolutely.
And how does it, you think it compares to, like, say, the Rolex course? Does it look bigger than the Rolex four-star course?
Yeah, I think it asks sort of some different questions, and it does, to me, you know, look a little bit different. It's a more sort of, I find the English-style courses do always look a little bit bigger, but that's just me. I mean, the riders might have a different take.
I doubt it. I think everybody thinks it looks bigger. Well, Kalina and Patricia, thank you guys so much for joining us. We're going to work on getting a better connection for you guys, or just a better microphone or something. But you guys are at Burley and you're reporting live. And please, everybody, you can definitely follow their adventure on horsejunkiesunited.com. It's the Kalina and Patricia's Burley Adventures. And I
and,
believe you guys are going to be giving away some cool prizes, too.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Some good prizes. There'll be questions or some sort of input requested from people to be eligible to get a prize at the end of every Burley day. So check out the blog.
And Nick, you guys, hold on 1 second here. Jennifer is going to pick up and chat with you about how we might be able to get a better connection for you tomorrow.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
that connection was just terrible. I don't know about you, but I was having trouble hearing. So what Jennifer's going to chat with them and see if they can. Maybe it was the building they were in, too. It sounded very echoey.
Well, it's like broadcasting in an empty house. I would imagine I'm a little echoey today, too, because the house is completely empty. All that's left to do is mop and clean. So that's my job. As soon as the glamorous lifestyle of a radio host on Horses in the Morning is that I get to finish the show and then mop.
You're a scullery wench today. And
I am.
But you get to do that, if you think about it, you get to do that in the air conditioning, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I think our power is going to get shut off this morning. So, I think I might jump in the pool, which is starting to turn green, and then come back in here and mop, and then jump back in the pool. If I trip on the floor, who cares, right?
So how's the new place?
It is packed full of boxes. It has been, you know, when you have to get this place, the old house empty and looking good, and it's a lot of work, especially when you have the farm, we have the tech shed and the chicken coop, and we got all the stuff to move. And So it's been a little bit challenging. We haven't really been able to do that much with the new farm. But this weekend I've got the tractor guy coming, and he's going to start to work on grading my arena. And so it's wonderful. It's awesome. I love it. I'm so excited about it. And I will definitely take lots of pictures once I've opened boxes and put them away. Right now you have to actually kind of cut. It's like a maze with cheese at the end for a mouse right now. You walk in the front door and you got to go left, and then you have to hook a right around those boxes, and then you got to go straight for a minute and then go another right. It's the only way to walk through that.
Has Chad ever said in the last couple of days, has he made the statement, why did I marry a horsewoman?
I have not heard that out loud, Glenn, but the fact that it could remain that he was at the house until 2 o'clock last night by himself, and I'm sure he was screaming it.
I know. We moved farms. I think I might have made that statement once or twice myself. I think I remember that.
I think it would have been peppered. His would have been peppered with a little more colorful language than why did I marry a whore? Why in the egg did I blah, blah, blah?
All right, let's take time out for our sponsor, Back on Track, and we'll be back with more show. We got lots to come yet, so please hold on.
Well, we are here with Bo from Back on Track Products, and we're going to highlight today the saddle pad. Tell us about the saddle pad.
The saddle pad is start to get more and more popular. People, some have bought them, buying more. They really like them, and Michelle Gibson is one of them. Some is a top dressage rider, and it's good quality. And what they do, the same there, reflect the body warmth back like a far infrared rear. It's not, they don't overheat the horse or anything. They just keep them more supple and loose. Mm-hmm. And it's a good quality and affordable. They're $79, and it's like a good quality saddle pad.
That's very affordable for a saddle pad that's going to increase the blood flow.
Yeah.
Under that's amazing. I had no idea.
Are they the type of saddle pad that they can be used both in practice and show?
Yes.
Okay. So absolutely. They're show quality. They look.
Absolutely. So it looks like a normal saddle pad. You can't see the difference, but it really makes a difference. I don't ride myself, but everybody tells me. And since the increase of saddle pad have been very good, it's actually that product that increased most in our sales. So it means we get a lot of repeat customers. So that means.
Is it a square pad or is it the shape of the saddle?
It's a square pad. You know, we have all-purpose and dressage, and we're going to get one. Goes around
shaped
the
one.
Shaped one,
yeah.
Too. Yes.
Shaped ones as well. Well, that's great. And $79.95, and they are machine washable?
Yes.
You know, for what it does, that's a terrific price, because we have seen some saddle pads here that don't do anything but be a saddle pad for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. And this is actually $79.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, it's pretty, and it's a good quality to hold up, you know, like a regular saddle pad of good quality. Yes.
Make your horses happy. Go to backontrackproducts.com and get the saddle pad. It'll definitely improve their attitude.
Well, thank you to Back on Track Products, and again, you can find them at backontrackproducts.com. I want to give a thank you out to Robert Dunn, who posted on our Facebook page about 45 minutes ago. Thank you for the nice comments there, Robert. Excuse me, I truly appreciate that, and I know that Jamie and Jennifer do as well. So I appreciate the nice comments there on our Facebook page. And by the way,
yeah.
I have never been to Burley, but holy cow, that's a nice house.
Is that not amazing? I mean, that's what I was saying. How could you not get distracted galloping by that? Like, you just want to gaze at it a little bit more. And when we do these segments called, you know, Things You'll Never Afford, that pretty much falls into the category. Definitely.
Yeah, that would be one of them. Yeah, definitely. Totally. Very, very, very nice.
Right now, I'm reading about the house, Glenn, and it was built about 500 years ago. 500 years ago. Talk about construction, okay? The things that we live in now would never last 500 years. So 500 years, it took them 30 years to make that house. There are what they call 35 major rooms and 80 lesser rooms throughout the entire house. And also, there's a 26-acre pond around it. I mean, the place is amazing.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And, of course, there's a lot of those over there in England. I mean, there's a few like this over there.
So I wouldn't know. I've never been to England. So
I know. I haven't either. But it sounds like you're signing up to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that in the budget meeting after the show.
Yeah, okay. You get to do that with Jennifer. I'm just saying, just she's the person in charge of budget.
I think that maybe Chris might need some more help, Jennifer. What do you think?
We can't send just one reporter to the Olympics. It's much too large an event.
I know.
Oh, look,
I know.
Your side.
But I don't think that it would be financially viable to send three of us. So only two of us, Jennifer. Okay? You got it? You picking up what I'm putting down?
I hear you. So we're going to, why don't we take a break for our song here, and then we're going to come back. Do you want to do Black Beauty then after the song? This is the final thing, right?
Oh, my God. First of all, are you ready for the final chapter of Black Beauty?
I don't know. See, I don't know what the final black chapter of Black Beauty is. You know, yesterday's was all happy, and you were crying your eyeballs out.
I don't know if what is the question you asked me this morning? Because obviously you are in suspense about this story. So for those who have been listening or following around along, where have you been? We've been reading a chapter of Black Beauty for the last 48 shows, plus or minus a couple. We've been reading a chapter of Black Beauty, and this is the final chapter. So if you haven't ever read Black Beauty, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, you're not going to want to listen in the next couple minutes because it's going to give it away. But Glenn has already asked me like 5 times, does he die? Does he die? Does he die? See, so you're into this book, and you are dying to know what happens, aren't you?
Either that or I'm just wanting to get it over with. There's one or the other. I'll let you decide.
Come on. Okay,
well,
play the song.
Why don't we play the song so you can mentally prepare, get mentally prepared for the final Black Beauty.
Okay, we'll do the final song. Are you going to do Feed XL now?
Yes, I'm going to do Feed XL, and then I'll do the song, and then you can get mentally prepared for the final chapter of Black Beauty. Now, you cried your eyeballs out after yesterday, so I can't imagine. Do you want to do Black Beauty first, and then we can play the song so you can recover?
No.
Would that be better? Okay, just checking.
I'm not ready.
All right. You know, one of the things that we have to worry about every day is how we feed our horses and whether we're feeding them correctly, giving them all the right stuff. And one of the places that can help you figure out whether you're doing it right or not is FeedXL.com. If you haven't taken the time yet to go to FeedXL, please take the time to do it. It will take you only a couple of minutes to put in the information about your horses, to put in the information about what you feed your horses. That includes everything that goes into your horse's mouth. You can do that, you know, you can do that very simply and very easily at FeedXL.com, and then they're going to print out some reports for you in detail, charts and graphs and all kinds of stuff that shows you what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. And you can make adjustments, probably save you money actually using FeedXL. Because you can make adjustments then to the supplements, to the grain, to the hay, to really suit your horse's needs. And you can trust FeedXL because it's designed by a group of doctors of nutrition.
Hey,
and
Glenn?
Yes?
I just stopped by FeedXL the other day, and I was surfing around and reading, and they have really pumped that thing up. They redid the site, and they have some fantastic articles on nutrition as a whole for horses. And boy, they're doing a good job. The articles are really pretty short. They're not like something that's going to take you an hour to read, but so concise and so accurate. It's the only place I've ever gone to that gives you horse nutrition information that is not designed to be a sales pitch. It's designed so you understand nutrition, because they're not selling feed, they're not selling supplements, they're not selling health care insurance. They're not selling widgets. That's information. And I got a lot out of that. I was reading through there. I'm particularly curious about mineral contents and feedstuffs right now, because when you have fat horses like Beaker who don't get grain, mineral content is kind of key, because it changes a lot in the grasses and the forage depending on the time of year and the rain and all that kind of stuff. And I learned a lot from that. So anybody out there who's an information weenie but doesn't want to get cross-eyed from too much techno-science kind of speak, you should stop by FeedXL. That, they've really done a great job with that.
Well, there you go. Nothing more needs to be said. FeedXL.com. And this song today is by Dan Roberts. It's Viva La Cowboy. I thought we would, it almost is a little La Bamba-like, so I thought that this would bring back pleasant memories for Jamie from the other day.
All right, all you cowboys and cowgirls, I really need your help singing the chorus on this one. It's called Viva La Cowboy. I hear a lot of talk about him dying. They're calling him a vanishing breed. They sing them sad songs about how he's come and gone, as if he's faded into history. Well, I can tell you something for certain. Yeah, one thing that I know for a fact, they ain't exactly dropping the curtain on a way of life that's way intact. So Viva La Cowboy, long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches. Hey, they can weather the change. So Viva La Cowboy, he's still got a home on the range. Pickup trucks are still hauling hay. They keep on raising the bar in the PBR, and there's thousands in the PRCA. You won't find them on the endangered species. They ain't protected anywhere that I know. And they're still making them as tough and as bronky as they did when the buffalo roamed. Hey, Viva La Cowboy, long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches and they can weather the change. So Viva La Cowboy, he's still got a home on the range.
God, help me out here now.
Viva La Cowboy, long live the kind. Here's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches. Hey, they can weather the change. So Viva La Cowboy, he's still got a home on the range. Yeah, Viva La Cowboy, he'll always have a home on the range.
Oh, my gosh. Viva La Cowboy. That is a definitely took me right back to Vegas, Glenn. I was sitting back at that blackjack table just gambling away. It's funny that the word Viva makes us think of Las Vegas. It just goes together.
True. By the way, I think you blew all chances the other day. You and Alan both. Alan had to call and make it worse. You blew all chances of us ever getting to play blackjack together. I don't think Jennifer's ever going to let us do blackjack together again.
Well, that wasn't my fault. Alan called in and started saying that we had to go to the $25 and $50 and $75 minimum tables. And
Able.
I'm sorry, I cannot play like that.
Neither. $5, I start to get nervous, I got to tell you. I get to $10 and I get really nervous.
You got to think of the big picture, though. You say you take $200 over there. You're like, I'm going to play with this $200, not $5 a hand. Because if you start going, oh, my God, that was a cup of coffee at Starbucks, boom, done. Oh, no, that was, you know, that was half a bag of feed or whatever. That was, oh, my God, that was my supplement money. Oh, I just could have bought my horse a new pair of shoes. Yeah, don't, you can't think like that. Got to look at the big picture. We're here. You can't, got to spend money to make money, Glenn. Spend it to make it.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Tell Jennifer that, okay? So that we can actually go play blackjack together.
come on, hey, man. Listen,
before you start with Black Beauty, before you start with the final whatever chapter of Black Beauty where she dies or he dies or lives, I'm not sure which, we have a very special announcement coming up on Friday morning that we're so excited about, and we can't let the cat out of the bag because we have a guest coming on with us. But I just wanted to tease that a little bit, that Friday morning, first thing in the show, we have a very special announcement. And, of course, later in the show on Friday is really bad ads. We missed last week. So we have a bunch of ads that have been submitted. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Be sure to copy the whole ad and put it in the email. That helps her out a lot. And you will win a $50 gift certificate for a tax shop out of Texas that we talked about yesterday. So you're definitely going to want to get your ads in. We really appreciate that. And is the book open and is your finger ready?
Excuse me. Okay, I'm ready. Oh, God.
Did before you get started, did Chad leave you any tissues? Or do you just have to use that towel that's hanging on the window?
You know what? My fancy curtain is going to have to do, which is the towel, the beach towel, hanging down, keeping the sun out.
All right. Well, that holds a lot of water. Here you go.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English.
Wait a minute. I just wanted to say that, you know, this is the last time we're going to hear this song.
I think tomorrow we should start at the beginning again.
Do you like getting paid? Just saying.
Play the song.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 49, My Last Home. One day during the summer, the groom cleaned and dressed me with such extraordinary care that I thought some new change must be at hand. He trimmed my fetlocks and legs, passed the tar brush over my hooves, and even parted my forelock. I think the harness had extra polish as well. Willie seemed half anxious, half merry as he got into the chase with his grandfather. If the ladies take to him, said the old gentleman, they'll be suited and he'll be suited. We can but try. At the distance of a mile or two from the village, we came to a pretty low house with a lawn and shrubbery at the front and the drive up to the door. Willie rang the bell and asked if Miss Bloomfield or Miss Ellen was at home. Yes, they were. So whilst Willie stayed with me, Mr. Thorogood went into the house. In about 10 minutes he returned, followed by three ladies, one tall, pale lady wrapped in a white shawl, leaning on a younger lady with dark eyes and a merry face. The other, a very stately, womanly-looking person, was Mrs. Bloomfield. They all came and looked at me and asked questions. The younger lady, that was Miss Ellen, took to me very much. She said she was sure she should like me. I had such a good face. The tall, pale lady said that she should always be nervous in riding behind a horse that had once been down, and if I might come down again, and if I did, she should never get over the fright. You see, ladies, said Mr. Thoroughbred, many first-rate horses have had their knees broken through the carelessness of their drivers without any fault of their own, and from what I see of this horse, I should say that is his case. But, of course, I do not wish to influence you. If you incline, you can have him on trial, and then your coachman will see what he thinks of him. You've always been such a good advisor to us about our horses, said the stately lady, that your recommendation would go a long way with me, and if my sister Lavinia sees no objection, we will accept your offer of a trial with thanks. It was arranged then that I should be sent for the next day. In the morning, a smart-looking young man came for me. At first, he looked pleased, but when he saw my knees, he said in a disappointed voice, I didn't think, sir, that you would have recommended my ladies a blemished horse like that. Handsome is that handsome does, said my master, and you're only taking him on trial. And I am sure you will do fairly by him, young man, and if he is not as safe as any horse you ever drove, send him back. I was led home, placed in a comfortable stable, fed, and left to myself. The next day, when my groom was cleaning my face, he said, "That is just like the star Black Beauty had, and he is much the same height, too. I wonder where he is now." A little further down, he came to the place in my neck where I was bled, where a little knot was left in the skin. He almost started and began to look me over carefully, talking to himself. "White star in the forehead, one white foot on the offside. This little knot just in that place, then looking at the middle of my back, and as I am alive, there is that little patch of white hair that John used to call Beauty's threepenny bit. It must be Black Beauty. It must be. Why, Beauty, Beauty, don't you know me? Little Joe Green that almost killed you?" And he began patting and patting me and was quite overjoyed. I could not say that I remembered him, for now he was a fine grown young fellow with black whiskers and a man's voice, but I was sure he knew me and that he was Joe Green, and I was very glad. I put my nose up to him and tried to say that we were friends. I never saw a man so pleased. "Give you a fair trial, I think we should so indeed. I wonder who the rascal was that broke your knees. And my old Beauty, you must have been badly served out somewhere. Well, well, it won't be my fault if you haven't good times of it now. I wish John Manley was here to see you." In the afternoon, I was put into a low park chair and brought to the door. Miss Ellen was going to try me, and Green went with her. I soon found that she was a good driver, and she seemed pleased with my paces. I heard Joe telling her about me, and he was sure I was Squire Gordon's old Black Beauty. When we returned, the other sisters came out to hear how I had behaved myself. She told them just what she had heard and said, "I shall certainly write to Mrs. Gordon and tell her that her favorite horse has come to us. How pleased she will be." After this, I was driven every day for a week or so, and I appeared to be quite safe. And after that, Miss Lavinia at last ventured out into the small, close carriage. After this, it was quite decided to keep me and to call me by my old name of Black Beauty. I have now lived in this happy place a whole year. Joe is the best and kindest of grooms. My work is easy and pleasant, and I feel my strength and spirits all coming back again. Mr. Thurgood said to Joe the other day, "In your place he'll last till he's 20 years old, perhaps more." Willie always speaks to me when he can, and he treats me as his special friend, and my ladies have promised that I shall never be sold, so I've nothing to fear. And here, my stories end. My troubles are all quite over, and I am at home. And often before I am quite awake, I fancy I am still in the orchard of Birtwick, standing with my old friends under the apple tree. The end.
See, that was a happy ending. Why are you crying? It's a happy ending. I know. You're a mess. Here I thought you were warning me that the horse would die and have a horrible, tragic death, and it's a happy ending. Tom's going to be so disappointed.
I know. Isn't it happy? Isn't it happy? I love the ending. That's what makes me cry. Okay, move on.
Tom, we expect a final report within the next couple of days. We know you're always a day behind. Tom's keeping track of the carnage report for Black Beauty, so he'll, I'm sure, have a final report for us. But, Tom, you may not include Black Beauty in that because Black Beauty's standing in the orchard happily ever after.
Isn't
I'm glad
that
terrible
ending.
Book actually ended with a nice ending.
Isn't that awesome? Wasn't it good? Aren't you glad I read it?
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed reading it, Jamie, and I'm glad the listeners enjoyed hearing it.
Glenn, you enjoyed the book. Don't lie. You listened to every word. You paid attention. Jennifer, I think, really liked it. Jennifer, tell me what you thought. Give me a book review. Stat.
A book review. Let's see here. This is a fascinating take on the morals and mores of the 1800s in Europe. It is not a children's book, but an interesting investigation into how we treat animals and each other has changed. How's that?
Did you like it? I don't know what you just said.
I know it's how she avoided that.
You didn't ask me if I liked it. You asked for a review.
You didn't ask her for how many flakes she would give it.
No. Oh, how many flakes?
How many flakes would I give it? You know, it's got a fun plot line, you know. There's the whole, you know. I'll give it a four flakes, but I still wouldn't call it a kid's book.
So that, wow, four flakes is more than I thought she would give it. So yeah. You did pretty good there, Jamie. She gave it four flakes.
Yeah. But only that's the read aloud version. That's the read aloud version.
Yeah, I think she liked it more because you read it. I don't know that she would have read it herself the whole way through. Because you read it, I think she liked it more.
Stop kissing my ass. Let's move on. I'm not you guys.
I would not have read it myself, but because you read it, I listened to it. See? So that's good. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were others like that.
Now let's qualify that. When's the last time you read a book in print? Read a book with your own eyes?
Ooh, it's been a long time. I listen to audiobooks. Audible.com. You can go to our website and sign up.
I know the last time you read a book was when you went to California is the last time you read a book.
That's true. That is true.
That's
and to lighten the mood here, after that.
Gag assist. Half horse, half man with beer in hand. He strolls the infield best.
Hey, Jennifer.
Yes?
How many... when you say four flakes, out of how many?
Obviously, you don't pay attention during the book reviews.
I think it changes all the time.
No, it's a five-flake bale.
Okay, five. Oh, wow. Those are big flakes.
Yeah. Or a small bale.
Or a small bale.
So that's pretty good. Four out of five. That's pretty good.
Sure, that's great. That's great. I'm still gathering myself together. I would like for you to know that Katie Livingood wrote on there, if this chapter didn't exist, I don't think I could read it. I tear up every time. Thank you, Katie. Now, did you get teary when I was reading it? That's what I want to know. Is like, did I make anybody else cry because I couldn't get through it? Chad's in the kitchen with me, and he's just staring at me like, what is wrong with you?
No, she it's just like, didn't get fired. You're okay, Chad.
Yeah.
You better assure him you still have a job.
Honey, did you lose your job? Did somebody die? No, I just read Black Beauty. What, you read what? Black Beauty, the book, you know, Black Beauty? Oh, my God.
What's that name they have for you over at the Air Force or at the, at the Air Force Base? They have a name for you. Shem.
Super high emotional maintenance. I come by it honestly.
It couldn't fit any more than it does right now. That's for certain. Hey, we're going to be getting the horse on here in a minute, talking today about, oh, good. See, it's your turn to take the horse, and they're talking about pain management.
Oh, well, that's good. That's interesting.
I have the horse. They talk about sheath cleaning. This week, they talk about pain management. That's like easy.
And I know. And there's more to it, Glenn, than Butte. So we're all going to learn a little bit about pain management today.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Well, that's good. I'm glad to know there's more to it than Butte. Glad to know that.
A lot of people don't.
I gotta,
well, we've got
I gotta tell you something. While we're waiting for them to come up, I just wanted to tell you that Wendy came over and we recorded a couple driving radio shows yesterday because she's heading over to Europe to help. No, she wasn't mad at you at all, actually, after yesterday morning. She thought it was funny. She thought you were funny.
Okay. I meant to be funny, but then you got me all freaked out that she might be mad at me.
No,
because
she
I was busting her about the helmet. And you're like, oh, she's going to be mad. She's going to be mad. I'm like, I was joking with her. Hello. And then I was worried about it
mad.
All day.
She worries me, too, because she doesn't wear helmets when she should. And she's like wearing bare feet around her horses. She's just a bad example. She would be a pony club nightmare. If we could take a picture of her and send her to the pony club, they would put her in the next manual with a big circle with a red X over her.
See, now she's going to be mad at you, so keep talking.
But anyway, I got to tell you, I learned so much when she came over to record yesterday. I just learned so much when I'm with her about medicine and pain and, you know, herbs. And it's just fascinating to actually sit down with somebody that's that smart and talk about this stuff. I like it. It's like having a vet in your back pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sort of. I'm sure she doesn't like being known in your back pocket. That's kind of gross.
Let's get Christy on here. At least say hi. I don't think Dr. Jones is ready yet, but we can chat with Christy for a little.
Well, that's always fun.
Hey, Christy. So Christy is actually going to be in my neck of the woods several times. I guess the open sky of Phoenix, it seems like a great place to go skydiving.
It is. It is. You
Except
have one
when they're
biggest...
having a haboob, which apparently happened again. A haboob.
Oh my God, you guys! I forgot to tell you this. You're not gonna believe this. And Christy, I'm glad you're on the line. Check this out. I've been moving, Christy, and I had everything in the. I cannot believe I forgot to tell you this, Glenn. So I'm driving down the road, and the only thing I have in the back of the trailer, because we have this little like trailer that we've been borrowing, and it's just basically a flatbed trailer, and it has some little walls, but there's no back gate, and there's no roof on it. And we had loaded the washer and dryer when Chad was here, but then he had to go to work. So, of course, I can't unload it by myself, so I drive it where I had to go to make another run. So I left the washer and dryer there, and I'm driving down the road. And Glenn, as God is my witness, a little circular, little dirt devil tornado thing was in the middle of the road, and I've driven through them before. And you just drive, and it usually breaks them up, and then it's no big deal. Well, it was apparently a little stronger than I thought, and it lifted the dryer out of the back of the trailer and made it fly out on the road, and it busted into like a million pieces.
Oh, really?
The
dryer went skydiving because of a dust
devil.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God.
We call that
groundwater. I tried to call my – I had to call Chad and be like, baby – are you sitting down? It's brand new. This thing is brand new. We got it as a wedding gift, okay? I mean, from his parents. Like, this is literally less than it's like a year old brand new dryer. He's like, wait, what happened? I'm like, a daredevil, a tornado. It came through and it lifted the dryer out of the trailer and busted it into a million pieces. He's like, did you, exactly, Jennifer just typed in this, and that's exactly what Chad thought. Did you make that up because you were driving too fast? I'm like, no. I'm driving this trailer for days, just puttering along, like 10 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, this explosion.
Do you have haboob insurance, by the way? Just checking.
Well, what's funny is Chad's like, he goes.
I was just going to say that I don't think appliance insurance covers road hazards.
But it wasn't a road hazard. It was an act of God. Don't they have, like, nature kind of things or something? Like,
act of God.
Acts of Mother Nature. Yeah.
You know what?
Jones.
I just thought of, it's good you weren't driving a convertible. You would have been sucked out and smashed onto the road.
Oh, my God, you're right. It's like, I could be dead right now.
You've apparently not been to the Christy West School of moving things in an open bed truck, which is tie everything down so that even if the truck flips, it's not going anywhere.
Or the veterinary use of a truck is tie everything down in case you do flip the truck, which I've done a few times, and nothing moves either. So your equipment stays intact and you can still use it.
Hey, wait a minute. You flipped the truck a couple times?
Is this a couple
yeah, the
times
guys
a single automotive rollover or multiple occasions?
Two different times. The guys call me Flipper. So
awesome.
I love that.
Yeah, at the dealership. So, yeah, two times I've flipped. Yeah. So.
Okay. Wait a minute. You're in Florida. The roads are like flat.
Oh, no, we have windy curves, roads. We have lakes here. We have to get around the lakes, so we curve around the lakes and such.
You
and
flip
it
into a lake.
No, 10:30 at night, and I was a little tired.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
All right. You weren't back from a fox hunt, were you?
No, I was coming back from inseminating mare where the semen came by plane and landed at like 8:30. They got it to their farm at about 9:30 going on 10. Yeah, it was late night.
That's what you get for asking, Glenn. That's what you get for asking.
No, I just thought of that.
You know, it's all a man's fault, you know. He got there late to do the job. So I had to throw that in for your sake, Glenn. And of course my husband did accuse me of driving too fast, and that's why I flipped it.
Yeah.
Typical.
Did you tell him you were just in such a hurry to get home to him?
Yes.
And that's why?
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. Didn't work, did it?
No.
Well,
but everything
we are glad
works.
You're okay. Yeah, we're glad you're okay after flipping a vet truck. Oh, nice. So, you guys, let's get to what we're actually going to talk about today, which is, first of all, can I back up a little bit? Did you guys listen to Black Beauty?
No.
Oh, did not get on time for Black Beauty. I'm sorry.
I did not either. Sorry.
Christy doesn't like it either.
Nutcracker.
Didn't say that.
Do you guys like the story? Do you guys like the book?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
We
yeah.
did
you're
the final
lying,
chapter
Christy.
Today. They are not lying. Glenn, shut up.
No, I definitely
so anyway,
loved
we did the,
as a kid. Loved it.
Yeah, we did the final chapter today, and it got me a little bit misty. So if you hear me sneezing and you know blowing my nose a little bit, it's because I'm still a little emotional from reading the final chapter. But go back and listen to it. I've been reading every chapter, Dr. Jones, a chapter a day for the past, like, 55 shows. So
I know. It's amazing. It's amazing that you've done that. But I think it's fantastic.
See, Glenn, thank you, Dr. Jones.
I really do, and I think doing another book was a great idea. We had talked about that 1 or 2 weeks ago, and I was like, gosh, that'd be super. She got another one. Sorry,
okay,
Glenn.
Okay, Flipper.
Awesome.
Well, Jamie, if you want something to make you laugh and make you stop crying, just go back and listen to last week's health show.
Oh,
we talked about sheath cleaning.
Oh, you still missed it.
Did you listen to it?
No, I didn't, but I saw the Facebook post. So how did Glenn take it? The whole, you know, I mean, I'm assuming you talked about
hey, this
the
isn't about me now. We're talking about pain management.
Hey, you're picking on her for Black Beauty. We're going to get you back.
Amen, sister. Way to go, Christy. So tell me about it. How did he take it? Was he a disaster? Did you get any information out without him interrupting?
We got a lot of really good information out, and we had so much fun. Just I didn't know that you could hear somebody cringe that well. But it's
very well
it's,
put.
It's verbal. It was awesome. And I would like to let you
I want to let you
Glenn.
Know too. I have not eaten beans since then.
Haven't worn any clogs either, have you? By the way, too, that video has been very popular. I'm sure partly due to your assistance. It's got twice as many views as any other video on our website this month.
Is that right? Oh, my God. You people are sick. You're sick, sick, sick.
That's why
again,
we love thehorse.com.
Again, coming from the doctor's side, it's very necessary. It's not sick. It avoids problems.
Buy a mare. That's all I have to say. Buy a mare. Solves all the problems.
Dr. Jones, I have a question because I have a horse that I thought was going to – I figured he's an off-the-track thoroughbred. I really thought he was going to try to kill me, and I went to clean his sheath, and he rather enjoyed it. I mean, to the point where he would, like, hike the leg up and drop it down and, like, do the tummy touches, and it was horribly disgusting to me. Is that normal, or do I just have a weird horse?
He likes it. Plain
he
and
loves
simple.
It.
He likes it. Oh, it loves it.
Or
yeah.
he really likes
Play
you. Football. One or the other.
One of the two. You have a soft touch. So you're not a rough-handed person. That's good. That's
it
good
means you're good at it.
Yeah.
Gross, you guys. Okay, so.
Yeah, you asked her that one.
I know, but I want to know: is it? Do other horses do this? Is it normal? Is it
yeah,
acceptable?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we talked about the horses that get it on a regular basis and a weekly basis. They drop no problem.
Okay.
There's
that
a lot of
a
horses
little
that
expensive.
Get very excited when they see Dr. Jones drive down the driveway.
Actually, it's Kim, my vet assistant, is the number one person that does the sheath cleaning.
Okay, good.
Smart
it's great
move.
To be known for that. We'll have to talk to her sometime.
I'm sure she wants that to be her claim to fame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
she does get picked on
can
for
you
that.
Imagine on a first date, what do you do for a living?
I'm an equine hygienist.
Nice. All right,
come
Glenn,
on, that sounds better, doesn't it?
All right, I'm going
to
put myself on mute now.
Focus. I need you to focus because we actually have a really great topic today, too, and it's called it's pain management. And I noticed on – because I look at thehorse.com all the time, you guys had a webinar last night, which is like a web seminar based on this topic of pain management. And I think that this is something that a lot of people really would like to know because, like, some of us have older horses, some of us have competition horses, and I certainly know that, you know –
I don't want to give my horse a gram of bute all the time. I'd like to figure out what to do. So why don't you guys start to walk us through this entire pain management and the seminar you guys did last night?
Absolutely. And we, you know, it was a really great seminar. It was actually so far the third most popular webinar that we've had to date. We had almost 900 people sign up for it. So I really wanted to talk about it today because it was just, it was huge. And Dr. Lori Bidwell from Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine presented the seminar. But so we're going to go through a couple of her main points today. She's in surgery right now, I believe. So, Erin, can you talk to us a little bit? We started out at the seminar with the types of pain and you know, why and some cautions of managing pain in horses.
Yeah, there's three types of pain, the orthopedic, the soft tissue, and then abdominal pain is what most people would refer to with this pain. And they're different in their ways. They're reflected in the horse. And, of course, some horses are wimps and some are stoic. So that'll reflect the pain differently as well. But in my experience on the orthopedic, meaning some sort of joint disease, fracture, of course, is another orthopedic, those are pretty obvious. The joint disease, if it's an early onset, can not be as obvious as the later chronic situations. Soft tissue, you could say that would be like a bad kick to the muscle, or you can even throw in there tendon injuries or ligament injuries. Those horses will be lame up front initially, when the bruising and the immediate injury occurs, and then they're actually not too lame after that. And so they kind of be, they're kind of a hidden one. In fact, I've got a horse that I'm taking care of right now that the lady continued to ride the horse with a torn ligament, not knowing that she had a torn ligament. It was lame that first day when she had the lesson, so they quit the lesson, and 2 or 3 days later after stall rest, which is typical for ligament and tendon injuries, the horse was fine. So she continued to ride for another 4 weeks until her farrier said, why does this horse have swelling here on his lower leg? So those can be kind of tricky. And then abdominal pain is your colic. And you got some horses that will be really stoic and be in severe colic and not show you anything except for maybe paw the ground. So, you know, you can have the down and rolling and thrashing, and you can have just the pawing of the ground. So those are your different types of pain you usually see in horses. And, of course, just like Jamie said, the reasons that we try to maintain the pain in the horses is we care. We're doing okay. You know, you don't want to see them limping around, or you don't want to see them writhing in pain on the ground, rolling and such. So, you know, we want to take care of our buddies and keep them happy. The other thing, too, is a lot of horses won't eat when they're in pain. Obviously, they don't eat with the colic pain, but sometimes they don't eat with the orthopedic pain, some of the joint diseases, because they can't move around to graze. And then, of course, you know, it helps with healing because you decrease stress. And it's a known fact in human medicine that the higher your stress load is, the more cortisol that's released, and cortisol decreases your immune system to healing. So you're going to reduce any kind of healing in the animal and in the human if it's completely stressed out about how much pain it's in.
Absolutely, and all that.
I didn't think about that, actually, that the stress would do that.
Absolutely.
Stress slows the healing, huh?
Yes, it releases cortisol, or adrenaline is another thing that people call it. And my husband's going through it right now. He had back surgery last week, and he's in some pain. I told him, you need to take your pain meds so you can get a good night's sleep so you can relax and let the healing start.
So when you think about pain, I know, to your eyes. So when you take that out, you know, one more step as far as reducing the time it takes to heal things by reducing the stress, think about a horse that's got a more severe situation going on. He's in the hospital. The faster he heals, the faster he's out of the hospital.
And the faster he's home, where he's probably in a more relaxed environment. Home is safe to them. It's a safety zone. Hospitals are new. There's horses coming and going. There's strange people, different smells. You want them home.
Absolutely. And your wallet usually wants home, too.
yeah.
But, of course, getting rid of absolutely all the pain is not necessarily a good idea, depending on what the horse has got going on. So, Erin, can you talk to us about some caveats for managing pain?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of times, you said it, Jamie, you're perfect in the fact that the clients want to grab that bute that they've got, and it's common drug to have around the barn, and of course that's prescription only, and they want to grab it and they want to give it to the horse, make them feel better, and it certainly will help. It's kind of like taking 2 aspirins and call the doctor in the morning idea. That's fine for maybe an overnight kind of deal where you might have got some swelling, maybe it was a bug bite, maybe it was a kick in the pasture, not a big deal. But those horses that are constantly on bute are blocking the ability for a horse to get better, but also may have bigger problems like laminitis. So I've seen it where a horse has been on bute for 4 weeks, still limping. They've had the farrier out a couple times. Then they finally call the vet out, and the horse is rotated in its foot. That really didn't do the horse any justice by covering up the pain. You also have the damage of ulcers to your GI tract with too much of a good thing, such as bute or Banamine. And then, of course, Banamine, which is the big thing that they teach us in school that we have all taken out in the field with us, is a little bit of Banamine is okay. A lot of bit of Banamine is bad because it can mask some of the colic signs. So I get a call. The client gives Banamine. They want me to come out. I come out and check the horse. They got pretty pink gums. They got good refill. The heart rate might be a little bit lowered now. But that's because they feel good on Banamine. But it's not giving me a true idea of how that horse originally started as colic, because it may have had a higher heart rate. Gum color might have been a little bit more muddy or worse in color. So it's masking the condition. And I can't really judge, are we going to, you know, be heading to the hospital soon, or are we going to be able to handle this at home? So you got to worry about those kind of things. And then, of course, cost on the line.
Erin, let me jump in here. I think I've told you guys this story before. When I was a vet tech here in Arizona, it was shocking to me how many people would self-medicate their horses and give them Banamine and then call the vet. And I said to one owner, I said to my vet, I said, the next person that calls us and says, my horse is colicking, it just started, and I haven't given it any Banamine, I said, the next person who says that to me, I'm going to give him a hug. And it actually happened. At one point, finally, somebody was like, oh, yeah, I just called you guys out. My horse is colicking. I haven't given it anything yet. I just wanted you to look at it first. My God, that's like a revelation. Do you find that problem, too, that everybody just goes, well, I gave him some Banamine. He's been colicking for about 3 days now, and I just keep giving him Banamine, but it's not getting any better.
Yeah, I mean, we do hear that. And I hate to say it, with the recession, people are watching their pennies, and so you probably hear and see it more lately. But I'll have to say, I've got some fantastic clients, and they all have the understanding, and I have a very serious discussion with them when they pick up Banamine from me. And there's, you know, some people that I'm all hesitant about dispensing some Banamine to and such. But we have a very serious talk about, please call me. I don't care if it's 10 o'clock at night. Just call me so I know that the horse is having a problem, and I'm going to call you back in a proper amount of time to see if that Banamine's working, if you're not going to have me out. And then that way we know, you know, is the horse in dire straits or is the horse doing okay? And I have a majority of my clients call me before they give the Banamine. And I just could kiss them all because they're fantastic. The clients I have are fantastic. They really keep me on board with what's going on. It's the new clients I get that don't. And, you know, we have to have a serious discussion at that time. That's always good to let me know ahead of time, you know, so that we can take care of the horse in the early stage rather than a later stage.
Okay, they're lucky to have you, not going to lie. That is, that's something that a lot of veterinarians, a service that they provide, just call me with questions, you know. I think that a lot of people get so busy or they find other things to do with their time, other vets, so they're lucky to have you, a vet who will reach out and talk to them about stuff like that. Sorry, carry on. Good job.
Thank you. You know, we did have a call the other night, and this was interesting. It's a good client of mine that called regarding giving Banamine to a colic, but it was a friend of hers horse. And that friend I've never seen before. And the horse is colicking again, and they had a colic issue, I think, you know, a month ago. Well, somehow the ratchet part of the Banamine paste got smoothed off. I don't know how that happens, but they went to give an 800, 900-pound little Arab-typey horse Banamine, and it slipped, and they gave 2,200 pounds.
Oh,
and
no.
The horse did quickly grab as much as he could out of the mouth, you know, a handful of it out of the mouth, knowing that it slipped. So kudos to him for doing that. But what a nightmare. And how old was that tube or something? How does the ratchet not work? I've never heard that in 20 years of practice. So,
right.
You know, that's the other thing, too, is conditions like that can be a problem. You know, I had a client that had their daughter tell their daughter to go out and give 2 grams of bute to their horse. She gave the whole tube. It was 12-gram tube. Horse went into kidney failure. Yeah. Had to be hospitalized. And about 3 days later, came back home, and kidneys are doing well. But it's just it's very agonizing that, you know, they'll take a lot of these prescription meds, and these are prescription meds for a reason, into their own hands and try to do the dosing on their own. Or mistakes happen. Both of those times, I did get the call, but it'd be kind of nice if I was a bit more in tune with it prior to the meds being given, but
yeah.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. Well, the next thing we wanted to cover was recognizing pain in the first place. I think the one that Aaron and I were discussing last night that was that I just really loved was, well, he's not lame, he's just off.
my goodness,
what are
yeah.
real signs of pain?
Yeah, he's not lame, he's just not sound. Either your horse is sound or it's not sound. Either it's lame or it's not lame. They all mean the same thing. So
what
anyway.
Are some things that you want people to look for?
Well,
other
definitely
than being off.
Yeah, definitely change of attitude. I mean, you know your horse. A horse is going to get grumpier if they're in some pain. They're not going to want to be willing to go out of their stall to the pasture as easily. They're not going to come in as easily from being out in the pasture. Sometimes they go off their feed. The biggest thing, but a lot of green people can't see it, is their gait is altered. They have a little shorter stride to their step. And that's the ones I hear, my horse isn't lame, he's just off, because he's got a shorter stride. If he's got a shorter stride, he's lame. There's something that's painful in that leg that's making him take a shorter step. It's like putting a rock in your shoe. You wouldn't stride out and step down heavily on that rock. You're going to take a shorter stride, maybe step on your toe or step on your heel, depending on where the rock is, and avoid the rock and then take a stride with the other leg, you know, if you're walking down the street. So, you know, try it sometime. Put a rock in your shoe. See how short that stride gets, and that's exactly what a horse is doing when they have some pain in their limb. So, and, of course, then the poor performance. That's a big one is the dressage community is very big on that, I find, is that the horse just isn't getting the scores they used to get, or they're just not doing whatever it is, a half pass or collection. Something is different, and they're just having a poor score, and something's wrong. The horse is painful somewhere. And so poor performance, even in jumping or in Western pleasure, it's very easy to pick up on the poor performance. It's going downhill. There's got to be something wrong.
Perfect. And then once you've decided that your horse is sore, and we've talked to the vet, then I know we're running out of time, Jamie. I'm sorry. I'm trying to sprint through the last bit. Pain
no
management
problem.
is something that you want to really work out with your vet and kind of have some expectations for how long that pain should last based on what's going on. Really need to work on the cause. Erin, can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I'll say right off the bat, the chronic pains are the hardest ones to manage. They really are. The acute ones, they're easy to manage. Usually most of those we may not see because a lot of people give them a little bit of bute, they get over it, and everything goes fine. Then a few months later, it comes back up again. It rears its ugly head. So the chronic ones really need to be seen by a veterinarian. So, you know, my horse isn't lame, he's just off, and this has been happening for the last 6 months here and there. It really needs to be seen. And identifying where that pain is coming from is the number one number one job a veterinarian is going to do. Is it coming from the foot? Is it coming from a little higher up? Is it, you know, where is the source coming from? And then they can localize, do you need an ultrasound? Do you need x-ray? Do you need an MRI? That's a new thing now. They're finding out that a lot of foot pain is not necessarily a bony or arthritic issue. It's soft tissue, and we don't see that except for in MRIs. So staying ahead of the pain is the better thing for the horse so that you don't get down the line and now you've got a pasture pet that has no ability to recover because the pain is some so bad because the injury is so bad.
Absolutely. And I wanted to leave us with, I know we're right up on 10:30. The last thing I wanted us to touch on is the fact that some of the common meds that you have, you know, bute and Banamine are the ones that are most common in the barn. They're not necessarily interchangeable. You tend to use them for different kinds of things most effectively. Erin, can you talk to us about that?
Absolutely. I find that bute in my hands, when I dispense it out, is better for the musculoskeletal. So a bruise, a kick to the side, something like that. Something that's mild arthritis, it seems to help out with that. But the Banamine, I think it works in abdominal organ type pain, such as the GI tract for colic. So some people who get, you know, horses that get a kick or they're taking a lame step, they'll give Banamine instead of bute, and I think a bute's a better product for that. The other thing, too, Banamine is the only drug that will transfer to the eye to take care of eye pain. And so if your horse is having a uveitis or a corneal ulcer, you're going to need Banamine over bute, that's for sure. And then there's a bunch of topicals that are out there. There's prescription topicals like Surpass that's out there. Those work fine for some low-level arthritis and such. But when you get up to something that Surpass is not really covering, that you got to intervene with the veterinarian and get them to, you know, take care of that issue and find out exactly what that issue is. Again, the common complaint, my horse is lame, I think it's in the shoulder. 90% of the problems are in the feet.
Yeah, that happens all the time. I remember hearing that. So, well, you guys, this has been great. Can they still go online and see the webinar?
Absolutely, and I'm going to post that link up here on Facebook here in just a second. It was
okay,
a good
perfect
session. We had three veterinarians answering questions via live chat as well. So we've got like, you know, half a magazine's worth of text chat along with the videos. Some really good questions in there. So make sure to check that out.
Good deal. And Erin, what is your website, your clinic website?
It is, and I just found out from a client, I guess, end of the week last week that it's down, so we're in the process of getting it back up. But it is Florida, spelled out, FloridaEquine.com. We had no idea it was down last week. We had some bad weather here, and we thought our satellite wasn't working well. And the client called in and said, no, your site's down. So we're going to hopefully get that up by this week.
I was thinking, if you Google her, it says she's a vet, but there's no website. This Florida Equine doesn't exist. So now we know.
Oh, no.
You're not a faker. You're actually a real veterinarian, people.
Yeah, the FloridaEquine.com, for some reason it went down last week, so we apologize, and we're having our IT people look into it and try to get it back up this week.
Great. Well, good luck with that. That stinks. All right, you guys, thank you so much. Have a great day. We will talk to you next week. Everybody go to thehorse.com to check out that webinar on pain management.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was much easier than last week's. Much easier.
Well, I noticed you were awful quiet. Were you even here? Did you go somewhere and go do something else? Are you online shopping?
No, I wasn't shopping. Actually, I was listening, and you were doing such a terrific job with it, I saw I didn't need to type in.
Oh, you are such a liar. Okay, well, the show's over, so you can stop lying. Actually, just so everybody knows, I will not be here tomorrow. The moving process is taking its toll on me, and I've decided to quit. No, the cable guy will not be out until the afternoon to my house. I think it was sometime between 9 a.m. and midnight that I have to wait at the house for the cable guy to come. So, unfortunately, I will not be able to do the show tomorrow. Glenn, I guess you're going to try to find somebody to fill in?
Yeah, we're trying to find somebody to fill in for you. But that's hard to do, Jamie. It's hard to do. And I thought you were just taking the day off because you were exhausted from reading Black Beauty.
Yeah, I do need a little bit of a personal day to get over the fact that Black Beauty is over. And just so you guys know, again, I'll read the last sentence one more time as we're taking the show out.
All right, perfect.
My troubles. All right, perfect. So everybody, please spay, neuter, and geld, and have a great day, Glenn.
And we'll see you at Taylor.
Okay. My troubles are all over, and I am at home. And often before I'm quite awake, I fancy I am still in the orchard of Birtwick, standing with my old friends under the apple trees.